great many of our difficulties as auditors stem from a certain diffidence, shall we say, on the third dynamic. The trouble an auditor has is, of course, the exact trouble that he is resolving. An auditor audits as well as he is comfortable on the third dynamic, because auditing is a third dynamic situation. So I'm going to talk to you about how to make an auditor comfortable instead of how to make preclear comfortable. And this would be really as an instruction or as an instructor of auditors, something that you would do if you were instructing people how to audit, what you would tell them about. You would, if you were having any difficulty between an auditor and a preclear as a team, you would try to clear that specific third dynamic if you as an instructor had charge of a lot of co-auditing teams. Now, I'm giving you this not as idle chatter, but because you are going to be up against this very hard and fast, instructing auditors who have not had the benefit of any HAS training, who have not had very much benefit of any HAS publication, and who have not even had the discipline of learning how to be polite in life. And you'll be up against it to that degree. Why? Because I'm just now in the process of committing an overt act by making sure that we get into the field material which any two people can actually do and produce results. That was forced upon us once by the first book. This was the advertising material and the public line of approach which the publisher at that time insisted upon. He said in so many words, "I cannot publish this book unless you will say that any two people can do it." And I said, "Well, I won't say any two people can do it. I'll say any two people who are quite intelligent with considerable study can do it." So he said any two people can do it. We weren't ready for it. Processes were too complex. They didn't resolve fast enough. It didn't work fast enough. It wasn't easy enough to do. And human beings aren't persistent enough, and a lot of other things. We weren't ready for it then. Well, we may or may not be ready for it at this time, but you're going to get it anyhow. No reason to stick my neck out and give you a bunch of reasons as to why we're doing something. There's nothing like co-auditing to stimulate interest throughout the various nations of Earth. Of course, there's nothing like having a few auditors around, even if just a handful, that people can get hold of, if wildly and hysterically from South Africa or someplace, saying, "I have just asked the question, where would your mother be safe, and he is still having fits on the floor. What do I do next?" And you, of course, will answer calmly and accurately and say, "Ask the question again." This will be a new, strange idea to them. Although it said it in big, bold type at the bottom of every column. Says clear every question at the bottom of every column in any work we're putting out here. All right. So that makes you, as a professional auditor, rather in for it. And if this puts you in for it, you'd better know something about the instruction of auditors and the handling of co-auditing teams. Now, what would you do with a co-auditing team which was badly off of its hinges? You wouldn't worry about the pre-clear side of it. You'd find out who was having the most trouble in the auditing chair. You wouldn't find out which of them was having most trouble as a preclear. You'd find out which of them was having the most trouble as an auditor. And there you would find the greatest diffidence on the third dynamic, even if it was the mildest of the two, the best mannered of the two, the most obviously sweetness and light of the two, This person was having the most difficulty in auditing, so therefore we address the auditor. We don't address it or permit it to be addressed on the basis that it is his case level. Of course, that's the truth. But we just can't let that arbitrary exist, because we can use the necessity level of the co-auditing team in order to keep it going. And it'll get there. Man, although when he relaxes may get 1,000 somatics, can still ride above this level of somatics. Give you a better manifestation of that. Present time for some people is 80 miles an hour on a dangerous road. As long as he's got his attention at that level, no somatics or anything else. He's not having even any eyesight. If you got him up to 110 miles an hour, he'd have the most brilliant vision you ever saw in your life. That's his present time threshold. He's really in present time. He's right there with the particles. And now we, however, give him a boring Sunday afternoon, and boy, does he get lumbago. Gee, do his glasses increase in diopters and so forth. He's having a remarkably poor time of it. He has aches and pains. He's too far from his present time threshold. Now, this manifestation, called necessity, is an interesting thing, since most people depend on another determined necessity in order to function. Here we have this present time awareness in the presence of other people booting the individual along. Circumstances, the environment flying by the car, the demands of the machinery, and all of these things are crowding him into present time, you see. So we have an other determined necessity level. Quite a remarkable thing. Now, we have this other determined necessity level taking the place of self-determined necessity level. So I guess you just better be the other determined necessity level and get an extra heavy pair of shoes, preferably with copper toes, not pointed so they won't sink too deep. But let's just stand by to be somebody's necessity level, because they're accustomed to being booted into present time by 80 or 100 mile an hour slipstream. So you, as the professional auditor, would be furnishing this at times when you saw a co-auditing team start going by the boards. You would just pick up the people's necessity level, and this would give them a temporary sort of a clear a condition in which they could go on and operate. In handling a co-auditing team, you concentrate upon the person who is having the most difficulty as an auditor. How do people have difficulties as an auditor? He keeps talking back, and he keeps saying to me this, and he keeps saying to me that, and he keeps doing something else. You know, that person's having trouble as an auditor. The preclear is unruly while that person is auditing. Well, the trouble is with the auditor. Always, for the sake of any co-auditing setup, the trouble is with the auditor. Now, a triangular team is far more functional and far, far better than a co-auditing team. You have A audit B, and B audit C, and C audit A. And this is a better team, because you don't get a swap and an agreement and a tacit consent. It may bundle down to that sooner or later, but you don't get it, and you don't get this conflict of personalities. Furthermore, a husband-wife team, by experience, and by experience only, no, not for any other reason than the reports on it, is a remarkably clumsy operation. In the first place, the domestic scene is set up with certain agreements, and people have agreements in a certain way. Men conduct themselves in a certain way toward women, and women conduct themselves a certain way toward men. And there is a supremacy in this side of it, or a supremacy on that side of it, on this subject or on that subject. There are agreements, blatant ones, such as he doesn't have the babies of the family, and she doesn't chuck his secretary under the chin. You have very definite agreements here, just by reason of being a domestic scene. Well, the artificial atmosphere of an auditing session doesn't always lay aside the other. Now, in view of the fact these two people are depending on each other for sexual sensation, though let's be blunt, they do it in families, in the home, in the 20th century. Still in the 20th century. Not all second dynamic is outside the home, in spite of the McCarthy report. Therefore, Therefore, they pull in from each other sensation. And they will pull in from each other energy masses. They're in too close an agreement, and they are taking something from each other by reason of sexual contact. And this makes a very poor auditing session because it makes the auditor get the facsimiles of the preclear, vice versa, round and round. Very nice, huh? Actually, men should audit men and women should audit women. If you want to break it down to that degree, yes, you just want to be severe about it. But you don't have to go into that level, far from it. Let's at least recognize that in a family situation where a second dynamic is operating, you get this very naturally. Then you get another thing. They're depending on each other for company. And you get the re-stimulation of the voice in the auditing session when they're just trying to talk about what a good time they had at the party. See, that voice that they're talking about, the good time they had at the party, has actually been delivering auditing commands. And so they invert to each other as a group. And this is very poor to do. So, if you can, you would break up husband and wife teams in this fashion. Let's find another husband and wife team and get them going and then square it away. In other words, have the husband out of the husband and the wife out of the wife. Break them up, in other words. Don't, however, enter a third person into a husband-wife team. Now, I said that there's some allowability in a husband and wife team. You know, I mean, they can exist. They can do something. They have been successful here and there. It isn't something that you can just completely shut the gate on, clang. It's something you ought to shut the gate on, but you can't shut the gate on it, clang. But boy, shut the gate, clang, on this one. Entering a third person into a husband and wife team in order to resolve it. That doesn't sound like much, does it? The husband all too often loses his wife. Or the wife, if it was a woman you entered into it, all too often loses her husband as an immediate and direct result of this. What? We have altered what we might call the transference of husband to wife and wife to husband by putting them into an artificial situation. And rather than bust up marriages all over the place and get transfers off and cause an occasional situation about which you will be unhappy as an auditor, and so forth, just don't do it. I would hate to tell you how many times it happened in Dianetics. I would just hate to tell you how many times this happened. Husband and wife, and you get a triangular auditing team going, and you get a transfer of affection. This has a hypnotic connotation. Transfer of affection from the wife or the husband to the third person entered into the team. So it's just no dice. If you're going to do anything about this at all, just bust it off. And if you were going to be real safe, extremely safe about the whole thing, you would just say, well, men audit men in my co-auditing teams and women audit women, and then you're never going to have any trouble. That's that. So you could be that arbitrary. See, a female professional auditor can audit a male professional auditor without much consequence or difficulty. But here we haven't entered a family relationship, and this family relationship is what is at fault here. So, words to the wise, so fan your ears and pick them up, because you'll have a lot of trouble if you don't. Now, what's the trouble here in any co-auditing team that busts up? These are a couple of special conditions. You see the basic theory reason back of this co-auditing team trouble because of a family relationship is that you're actually auditing a third dynamic situation on a second dynamic situation. And the family is a second dynamic situation. You're trying to boot up into a third dynamic situation. It just doesn't go there worth a nickel. The wife does more of the husband's thinking, and the husband does more of the wife's thinking as you could ever check up in a day of work. It isn't a third dynamic situation cleanly or clearly. It has heavy emphasis on the second dynamic situation. So it just doesn't make a good third dynamic group, you might say. Well, all right, what are you going to do? You're going to address the case that's having the most trouble as an auditor. That isn't the one who is evidently the most clumsy or the most bombastic or the most this or the most that. They're just having the most trouble as an auditor. You know, let's take Joe and Bill. And Bill, whenever he's audited, goes, yeah, no, and you did it wrong, and you did this way, and you did that way. Now, you'd think as an instructor or a supervisor of co-auditing teams that you ought to take Bill in hand. Well, that's just your scarcity of pre-clears. That's all. You just waste them and accept them a few times on old step 4 SOP 8 and just remedy your own abundance of pre-clears, huh? Because let's just leave Bill alone. Who's having the trouble here? Joe. Joe's the boy you ought to take in hand. You ought to say to Joe, blankety, blank, 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 what is the matter with you? What's the matter? Can't you keep that guy under control? What's the matter with you? You mean can't keep... For heaven's sakes. And get in there and pitch. Go on. Go on down there and walk into that cage. I'll show those lions I'm not afraid of them, sort of an attitude. That works. He obviously isn't exerting enough pressure. Now they're going to complain to you about altitude. He doesn't have sufficient altitude to audit me in altitude this way. You'd think they were all going to drown on this altitude situation. It's no consequence. Altitude, smaltitude, who cares? You would be surprised the amount of altitude that blows away when a competent auditing job is done. All you have to do is comment an auditing job and the altitude. What you say the altitude is conditional upon a car, that's your problem. That's just necessity level again. Tell them, it can be done, it will be done, and you're going to do it, and you're the one that's going to sit there, and you're going to use the straight commands, and you're right in there pitching, and there you are, and you'll get the job done. And don't come around here telling me about it if you don't, because I'll just realize that you haven't been up to the situation. No, I'm afraid that's the way you would handle it. Very markedly so. Or you would say, well, now, it can't be that bad. He probably wouldn't ever really draw a knife on you while he's being audited. So on, and you keep calm, and you're doing fine, and it's really just a symptom. He's coming up through the anger band that he threw the flat iron at you yesterday. You would smooth him up the line or boot him up the line, but you would certainly raise his necessity level on the subject of being in present time during a session. Now, you will find out that the person who's doing the terrible auditing job and so forth is drifting out of present time like mad. He isn't really exerting control. Preclear comes up with a terrific amount of significance, somatics, bombast, emotion, something of the sort. And the person who is auditing suddenly clams up, says nothing. Here's your preclear with a bundle of somatics. Guy just sitting there saying nothing. The pre-clear gets to a point where he's about to say, for God's sakes, do something, something, say something. Auditor just keeps on sitting there saying nothing. Honest to Pete, it would be all right if the auditor just said over and over and over, how do you feel now? And now what do you think about it now? And so forth, and the guy'd work himself on out of it. What the auditor does is he realizes he has caused something. He says it's probably desperate. He says, I probably killed the guy. He doesn't know the consequences of it. And so he says, if I do any more here, it'll just worsen the situation. Whereas so he does the worst thing he can do, which is shut up. There's a little law, then, that you hand down to all your co-auditing teams. When in trouble, talk. That's that. When in trouble, talk. Now, the kind of auditing people are going to be doing by the schedules which go out is a sort of a reading kind of auditing. You know, you read the line to the guy, and then you read the next line. You read the line, and he got a lag. Well, you read it again, and you got a lag. You read it again, and you got a lag. You read it again, and you got a lag. And the auditor calls you up and says, what the hell is this communication lag? Every time I ask this fellow this question, it takes him half an hour to answer. Now he's down with lumbago, and I don't know what to do with him now because I keep telling him all the time, so on and so on and so on, that he'd better answer up in a hurry because we haven't got all day. Well, that's something that you would straighten out simply by explaining communication lag and explain to them that the silence is what is really therapeutic about the whole thing. You have at last brought calm to the preclear because he is so quiet. You see him sitting there, he's quiet. Well, that's obviously therapeutic, isn't it? The fellow says, yeah, that's right. Now, here is the point. When your auditor starts talking, the preclear ought to be auditing and doing something. Isn't that right? I mean, the auditor starts giving commands, the preclear ought to be acting. Well, give them to him this way around. When the preclear starts talking, start talking. Not at the same time, But when the pre-clear starts talking, start talking. When the pre-clear isn't talking, don't talk. So it's a very neat little law that you lay down, and you'll build their affinity just no end. See? That's really what the auditor's expected to do. He doesn't even have to say anything, as long as he will communicate. You know, say something, utter some words, anything. Now, the horrible auditor is the one who talks when the pre-clear is bogged and silent, and who is silent when the pre-clear is excited and going mad. And that's a bad auditor, and you normally will find out that is what is taking place when a co-auditing team is breaking down. The auditor is talking, yap, 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 all the time a communication lag is going on, see? And all the time the pre-clear is saying, my God, my head, it's splitting apart, I don't know what's happening to me, and so are the auditors sitting there silent. He's too polite. He thinks communications go this way. You talk, I talk, you talk, I talk. Communications don't go that way. Communication says, we talk, we don't talk. We talk, we don't talk. And we got it, see? So you can straighten out a remarkable amount of misunderstanding if you'll just straighten this out. It isn't really a matter of anything deeply significant. It isn't even really a matter of courage or anything else. It's just a matter of stupidity, which you then overcome with raising the necessity level by whatever means with the auditor involved, right? I mean, that's very easy to handle a team if you do that. And keep stressing this. You read the direction as they appear in the book. Now, they're going to expect you to come around, see, and give them a lot of extra stuff. You know, they're going to have a little book that's going to give a lot of questions, and they can read these questions over and over, and without knowing much theory or anything of the sort, you can read these questions over and over. Of course, a lot of guys will start speculating on it. A lot of guys will look through it, read some other publications, and come up with a good grasp on theory, and then very often get far more complex than they should. You see, a machine which is complex only undoes if you put simple things into it. So these guys who make everything too complex, they're going to have some failures with pre-clears. All right, and this fellow may develop a considerable aplomb with his subject and be able to extrapolate like mad and get his basic theory, but that's all in the future. That's all in the future. He will, one, be very thirsty for the reason back of when he isn't even able to read the words in front of him. Actually, the publication itself will tell him everything he needs to know. If you start introducing a bunch of strange data in on his head as he's co-auditing, he'll kind of spin. He'll say, gee, you know, I thought this little book here was all there was, and now he tells me about duplication on communication, and you know, that's true. Yeah. Holy cats, how much more do you suppose there is to know? What kind of an ocean am I sitting in? Where am I? I'm lost. Help! And he gets out the very pistol and calls up on the phone to locate where he is. Well, and you say, well, that's all right. It's very easily explained to him, and you give him some more data. Well, you just get him more lost. You have to keep telling him, rather consistently and continually, that all of that is explained on page 3. You know the little manual he's operating out of, see? It's just all explained on page 3. And so if he'll just go over that again with the pre-clear, that'll be all right, you know? That'll be fine. I mean, that's what it's intended to do. If you take him under instruction as such, for Pete's sakes, take him under instruction. But don't take him under quarter or eighth instruction, because you'll get lost. You know, you give him a little hint here and a little mystery there and a little mystery someplace else, and he's diving into the big black pool right on the spot. Which is another thing that you can remember. The way to mishandle them is to give them a complexity before they can handle a simplicity. The guy that's asking you for more data as a co-auditor, and he's asking you for more data, you, a professional auditor, is actually doing something which is, again, your income. He's asking you for data. You're there to help him co-audit, which is, in essence, to help him follow some directions which are already printed up and which you handed him. See? Or which he got out of the mail someplace, or got down at the library, or picked up off of a book stand. See? The next thing he knows, he's there. If he wants some instruction, you then should say there are several people in the area who want instruction in this subject, or as soon as there are more people in the area who want instruction in the subject, I'll be very happy to conduct a class in the subject. And then you go ahead and conduct a class on the subject, and you help your own altitude out. But if you go on and educate everybody in every living room and every preclear that shows up, and you just educate him a little bit beyond his depth of understanding, you leave him hanging with something he doesn't have in his little manual, he's been going around with a complete all of everything in his hip pocket. It kind of says so. It says, this is all you need to know to do this. And he's been going around with this little book, and he's been reading it to Aunt Bessie, and by golly, she's gotten over her epileptiform seizures. And that's fine. He feels real good about this. But he's been working on his boss, and he's been having a little bit of trouble. And he doesn't quite know what to do next. He feels that there's something else. If he just knew that, well, he'd do a much better job on it. And after all, it's his boss. He gets a vested interest in this thing somehow or another, so he gets anxious. So he'll look you up, and the next thing you know, there he is. He wants to know a handy little Jim Dandy technique. Well, now, if you had one all printed up and explained on a card or something, and you handed it to him, and he went off and did this technique on his boss, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with you doing that. But if you just tell him, well, the explanation of this is so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and that, and so-on, and so-on, and so-on, and so-on, and so-on, even if you spent a half an hour or an hour explaining to him on this basis, he's going to go out and go adrift. What you want to do is take the book out of his pocket and read it at him. Demonstrate to him that he is dealing with a certainty. He's just asked you, well, what happens? I mean, the fellow keeps talking. You know, he keeps talking at me, and I hardly get a question in sideways. I have an awful time on this. And so when it doesn't cover that any place in this book, and you say, oh, it does too, it covers that right there. Oh, why right there? It's an outgoing communication lag. That's what you're up against. And it means that this fellow can't be talked to. And it says that right there, doesn't it? Now, you see what an outgoing communication lag is? And this fellow can't be talked to because he's outflowing so high that no communication ever goes in. Oh, yeah. I got that. Why'd he come to you in the first place? He wanted somebody to agree with him in addition to what he already knew, see? And he wanted a little reassurance, so on. He didn't really want more data. He had it right there, but he couldn't quite wrap his head around it. Now, there are certain manifestations which the individuals will fail to recognize, which will be quite simple and which they will really know all about, but they won't recognize them. You're not very far out of line to tell them what the manifestation is, because it's right there, see? You know, it's that manifestation, so on. Now, go back and do a better job of it. And, you know, it's very hard on people to audit. We realize this, but you just keep your nerve up, and you'll come out all right in the end, we're sure. And if anything really desperate happens to your preclear, I'll give them a session, something like that. It's fine, and so on. And when you get bogged down to a certain point, why, you come over and I'll give each one of you a session, you know, regular office rates. You'll be okay. But when they want instruction, for heaven's sakes, teach a class and just go over it and demonstrate it and just teach them just like that, but make them a student when they're a student and make them a co-auditor when they're a co-auditor and never get the two mixed. Co-auditors are not students. Students can be co-auditors, but they're also students. When you're handling co-auditing teams, these are about the only real difficulties you'll run into, except one. The auditor who's having the most trouble in the auditing chair is actually the one who is the most deficient on the third dynamic, even if they're the quietest, most orderly, and polite. You've got to clear two people who are having trouble as auditor and preclear as a group. You could clear them as individuals and clear them as a group, but you had just better clear them as a group. How would you clear them as a group? Let them talk. They're right sitting right there. Let them talk at you and tell you how horrible it all is. Let them communicate. And when they communicate about how horrible it all is, that they busted each other up, why, don't be at all surprised if they've dropped into a higher level of affinity. Why? They communicated. That's how you clear a group. You let them talk. All these years of speculation on the subject, and I finally have come more or less to that conclusion, Anytime you want to unclear a group, put a repression on their communication. If you clear them, let them talk. That's really about all you need to know about handling co-auditing teams and handling auditors who are having some difficulty.